Extra Points is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. It has great odds and markets for the Major League Baseball, NFL, PGA Tour, and so much more. Awesome new and existing user promotions. It's America's number one sportsbook because it's easy to use, because it's safe and secure, and because you get your winnings fast. Now, winnings are delivered in as quick as 2 hours, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. Discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code Extra Points so they know I sent you. Take it away.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you on a Thursday morning. Yeah, spaghetti and meatballs, fiddling with the knobs, babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. What is happening, fellas?
Everything is the answer. It's summertime. Aren't we supposed to be off? Isn't it supposed to be quiet in summertime in the world of sports? Anything but. Let's talk about all of it. Pew, pew, pew,
pew, pew. Wait, we're not supposed to wake up and immediately turn on the Wimbledon six, which is what I'm watching now. I have money on three of these matches so far.
I can't believe people still watch tennis. It's really an amazing thing to me.
They still watch tennis.
What do you mean?
People watch poker. What do you mean?
Well, that was weird. That was an embarrassing little 3-year window for society when people sat around and watched other people playing cards. That
still
was weird.
Goes on. Yeah,
I got news for you. You can still find it on television today.
All over the 600 channels and DirecTV.
All right, you can also find it. You can find it on Sal's TV network at 2 o'clock in the morning too.
Well, there were a lot of people. There were a lot of people, like celebrities playing poker and everything else. Yeah. It's really like Ovechkin scoring goals in soccer. It's like, you know what dents the integrity, the credibility of your sport? When random celebrities or athletes who do other sports can jump out there and immediately succeed. That's not good.
But not regularly. I know what you're saying. But yeah, no, the Chris Moneymaker year was the big one. He was an online guy who won, and that's when it turned the pros on their ears right there, right around the turn of the century, right? 2002 maybe, 2003, I think, Moneymaker. But anyway, tennis is back. That's where it's at. Also, our prop culture quiz is up there for July. We have Joey Chestnut coming on in a minute as part of the prop culture quiz. One of the questions, Joey Chestnut, over 74.5 hot dogs consumed. Martin, you can't really bet against this guy at this point, can you?
What did he do last year? Do you know?
76.
76 last year, and you know, but what about the year before that?
I think 75. I think he's gone up. I famously bet against him. I bet under, and he had 64, and then he announced, I've talked about this in my book, he's getting interviewed afterwards. I collected on my under 72.5 because he had 64, and he's like, oh no, wait, there was another plate they didn't count. And the carnival barker guy is like, oh well, 74 then, a new record. I was like, wait a minute, so the integrity is in question a tiny bit there at right there in Coney Island. But we have to talk to him about that. Which way are you going?
I'm about to say, don't tell him this, but I'm taking the under.
Of course I'm going to tell him this. I'm not going to tell him. I'm going to say Martin's betting against you. Sheck, Thor to make $170.5 million. Will the Bachelorette cry in the season premiere? These are all questions that can be found on our July prop culture quiz right there, extrapoints.com/arcade. The winner of the June prop quiz winner was Darren Fuller with 9 out of 10. So good job by you. You get the gold cap. What do you think of Joey Chestnut coming on, Sheck?
I think it's exciting, and I think I think he's to be hailed for this. You know, we've been talking about like Steph Curry to some, not victim of his own success, but he is the trailblazer, not a Portland trailblazer. But Dame Lillard followed in Steph Curry's. He's probably the most prominent example of like Steph Curry. Nobody could make 28 or 30 foot three pointers with any consistency until Steph Curry did. And then Dame Lillard started doing it and other guys too. Joey Chestnut, really, no one's really, with his deeds, no one's equaled his greatness. He truly is the GOAT, you know, because there's not somebody come up who can match his rate of
success. Yeah, I do want to talk. Nobody's dominated their sport like he has. But it's interesting what you say about Curry, because people say, well, move the three-point line back. Martin, what's the answer with Chestnut? Make the hot dogs bigger?
Well, I thought, what happened to that guy? Now, mind you, I have tapped out of this for the last 10 years because I have a very, very, very soft stomach. But Kobayashi. Wasn't there a Japanese man?
Kobayashi? Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I was making that up from Star Trek, because this definitely is something in Star Trek called the Kobayashi Maru.
Really?
From the first Star Trek movie. So I was I thought I was doing a little bit of transposing there. But yeah, what happened to that guy? Is he just like, he's out of the picture?
He famously would not get drug tested for this. Isn't this right, Shaq, or Babyface? Or maybe you remember.
Idea if you're trolling or not.
No, he wouldn't get drug tested. They tested these guys, and he wouldn't do it. So he couldn't compete, at least in this national, the Nathan's.
What do you mean? He was getting right? His pregame prep involved burning tree?
No,
it was some hunger or what?
What the hell was it? Yeah, that would make sense. But no, what kind of drug didn't he not want to be tested for, Babyface? Do you remember this?
I have to look it up, but it was something where he did not want to, I think, give his urine or no, I'm not sure if it was that, but he wouldn't.
Yeah, he wanted to urinate on all the hot dogs, and they're like, no, you can't do this. I don't know. It's very weird what goes on there. All right, well, we'll ask Joey Chestnut. Hey, he's here right now. All right, let's bring in our guest. You know, regardless of what his birth certificate says, this Frankfurter fairy tale character was born on the 4th of July. He's the 14-time Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest champion, and on Monday, he goes for number 15. The one and only Joey Chestnut is here. What's happening, Joey?
Oh, dude, I'm living the dream. I'm just getting ready for another 4th of July, and I'm getting hungry.
All right, well, listen, let's get this over with, because I'll hate myself if I forgot to ask. 76 last year, over under 74.5. I'm done betting against you unless you tell me otherwise. Are you hitting the over?
There's no guarantees. These last few years, I can't guarantee it. if there were guarantees, then there'd be no point in betting, but... Yeah. It's rough. The contest is going back to Coney Island this year. It's the first year in, I think, 2 years since COVID. So I'm hoping they cook the hot dogs well. And if it's not too hot, if it's hot, then it's hard to eat them. And sometimes if it's hot, then they undercook the hot dogs. So there's a little bit more. They're changing it up this year. So we'll see.
I think you're slow playing it. He's slow playing it. He's going to come out with 79. And we're going to be like, what the hell? What was all that hemming and hawing for? I could hear it, Martin. Yeah.
I want to know. So basically, it feels like he's talking about the difference between like a rainy day playing football and a sunny day playing football, like the quarterback. So what are the perfect conditions for you to consume as many hot dogs as possible?
I think the perfect is right about 80 degrees, warm enough so it's easy to get amped up, you start sweating. If it's colder, the hot dogs get cold. If it's too hot, then my fat body is sweating too much, and then I'm slowing down a little bit early. But I think that 80 degrees would be beautiful.
Boy, that's a great point. That's an interesting thought that, yeah, if it's super hot, who's hungry? Who wants to put a lot of food in their belly? That's got to be bad. But what's the ideal hot dog prep for you? Grilled? Boiled?
Oh, yeah. Well, flat top grilled. Flat top griddle is the best way with that real, that awesome direct heat. If it's boiled hot water dogs, those are not the best. Those are no good. Those are balloons, and we don't want to eat those. But I need these hot dogs cooked nice and well. Get that juice, the juice that's flowing. You don't want it to be undercooked and rubbery.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, now you talk about ideal conditions, and I'm sure Tom Brady would rather throw with, no weather whatsoever, but he still excels in the rain and the cold and the snow, and we've seen it. And we've seen you do it. It's always at Coney Island, 103 degrees, right? So I think it's more of a factor for your competitors than you. I think you've seen it all and done it all by now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've gone through it all. It might make it harder to break a record, but... I'm going to break the competition no matter what.
There you go. There you go. Now, I bring up Brady. Do you get mad when we were just discussing before you came on? You get mad when people talk about Brady and LeBron as the GOAT or the current GOAT and your name is left out of the conversation? I mean, they haven't even come close to dominating their sport. And yes, I say sport like you have.
I love Tom Brady. I hope I can do this when I'm 43. I'm 38 now. It's really hard getting older. It's hard to push your body the way you did when you were younger. I used to be able to eat and do practice contests every third day. And now in order for me to not gain weight, I have to practice once a week. And what they're able to do at their age, it makes me say, yeah, it keeps me hungry.
So when you go into it, like when you go in July 4th, are you ravished? Like, are you starving? Like, how are you? Did you eat? Do you eat breakfast that morning?
No,
like, walk me through that day.
Going to the contest, I've been eating for. Going to the contest, I'll do it. I'm finishing up about a 2-day cleanse. No real solid food. Lemon juice, water. I might sneak in a little bit of a protein supplement in there, but it's almost 2 days no solid food, and then. I can go into the contest. I'm loose, empty. I have a bunch of weird jaw exercises and almost like yoga, so that I'm keeping everything stretched and loose. And then I'm ready to go. And the cleanse also makes it easier to digest the food when I have that. I look at it like a clean highway. Everything's gonna go in. Everything's gonna go out, and it'll be it'll be beautiful.
Interesting. You know, I was thinking about this, and you know, I know you compete. This is the main event. This is the Super Bowl, but you're in competitive eating events all throughout the year, and you excel in those as well. But for most people only lay eyes on you once a year, and it would be great. You're still a skinny guy by all intents and purposes for what you do. Wouldn't it be great if one year you just showed up, you were 400 pounds?
If I was 400 pounds, I'd probably lose. It would be a bummer. I think it'd be crazier if I came out with a six pack. That'd be insane. And then I just keep eating like a beast. But
go one way or the other. Yeah, I would think. Yeah.
Is there an optimal weight though? Like, because it seems to me, if you were morbidly obese, that would lend itself to ingesting a ton of food in one sitting. Or would you, if you had to choose, you have to be 400 pounds, or you can be a man of sinewy muscle with like 2% body fat, which is the better version of you for
eating? The only problem with being 400 pounds is you get winded. There are big guys who are 400 pounds who can eat over 2 hour period. They can eat as much as me, but over that 10 minute period, they get winded. And when you're breathing through your mouth, you're not eating. So the healthier I am, the more that. I need that.
The fat people who get winded eating are quite a sight. But where do you come down on? Because we've been talking here. The hot dog is a close cousin of the sausage, the link. Where do you come down? Sausage links or sausage patty? You can only have one for the rest of your life.
Oh, I would go sausage links. The patties are only for breakfast. You could have any time of the day.
Interesting. If you were having a breakfast sandwich every morning for the rest of your life, would that impact your sausage decision?
It's all tough questions.
It would. But I don't eat breakfast. I'm a one meal day kind of guy. Breakfast is coffee for me. And maybe if I'm out for brunch on a Sunday morning drinking and have that's when I have other breakfast items. But breakfast, the sausages are the way. Links.
If you had to dip one kind of sausage in your coffee, forget it. That's enough sausage. But you know, I was thinking though, you know, you have so much power. You're the undisputed king of competitive eating. What if on Monday, as they're counting you down, you turn to your competitors and say, hey guys, why don't we take it easy? Why don't we enjoy this meal? Let's eat at a reasonable pace and get to know each other. Maybe have a Merlot. Could you do something like that? You think they would all join in? I mean, you're the man.
No, the crowd would boo. Literally, they're like, the audience is like 30,000 people, and they've been standing in the heat. They would probably attack me if I didn't try to go for a ring. And I'm going to go. Yeah, there's there's a little bit of pressure. There's electricity on the 4th of July, and I'm going to be pushing.
Yeah, you have low idea. That's too heavy a drink in summertime, Sal. You don't drink. That's a heavy wine.
I'm not. That's Sauvignon Blanc. It's something cool and crisp.
Okay, all right.
This guy gets it. Chestnut, your run here is remarkable in the history of sports. We will call back to it. In these 16 years, I've talked to you a number of times and asked you to do this. You might need to get, as a vet now, get in the heads of the younger athletes here. Please do it this year. Before it starts, you say, hold up, Judge, before we start this thing, I need a vanilla shake and some gravy fries. Don't you see how intimidating that would be to your foes? You're like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy my wiener, though, with some nice cheese fries or something like that. Don't you see the impact that would have psychologically?
I've always wanted to, like, I want this chili on my dogs. Don't serve these hot dogs without chili. I need more. I think it would be a real, it would be a power move to just it's not enough just to eat a plane.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could see how it gets boring for you. I was thinking about this, you know, when a team or even individuals win a championship or a gold medal, they get invited to the White House. Have you ever received an invitation?
No, this is bull crap. I started winning when George Bush was president. The Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, nobody's showing me any love.
Yeah. Wow. Bipartisan enormous.
I got invited to the Playboy Mansion by the way back when. I didn't get no White House, House invite.
Playboy Mansion's better. I've been to both. I think
I thought it was a little bit old, a little bit dated.
Yeah, I guess so. So you would go. I mean, you don't care who's in office. If you were invited, you would go, right?
It's the leader of the free world. I would go.
Well, Trump's got to be your ideal because he would lay out that spread of other champions of hamburgers and French fries. That would be your dream, right? Yeah. You would consume that table in about 4 minutes.
You know, I think Bill Clinton might have been the best.
He was all McDonald's, right?
What's this?
Yeah, Trump throws his lunch at the wall, so you might be in danger. You got to be careful there.
Trump also likes ketchup with his steak.
And that's right.
That's a little bit iffy.
Absolutely.
I'm fascinated to know, like, when you introduce yourself to people who don't already know you and they know your name, you're like, I'm Joey Chestnut. And they're like, wait, the guy who eats hot dogs on 4th of July? That's disgusting. Like, does that happen? Or,
Martin, come on.
The people who think that's my name. And so they don't really care. They don't know me. But usually, like, they think, oh, Joey Chestnut, I know you from – did I go to high school with you? They think they know me from somewhere, and then all of a sudden it hits them. And then it's like I'm their brother, and we're drinking and laughing together.
But how was that, like, becoming Joey Chestnut, right? Because at one point you weren't the most famous and best professional eater of all time. Like, and I imagine, like, you had to, like, rise through the ranks. Was that weird? Like socially,
it just happened. It was like I got on this wave. I started doing this contest when I was 21, and I was like, "Oh my god, I don't have to hold back eating anymore. I can get on stage and just eat like a madman."
Oh, that's a great feeling! What a great feeling!
It was like and then it just kept getting bigger and bigger, and then I gave up my day. I used to have a real job in construction management, where I was arguing over change orders and schedules, and now. Now I get to eat. I'm a lucky dude.
When you were working construction, was lunch like 3.5 hours? I mean, for the foreman was probably like, hey, what the hell's going on here? Get back.
I was on a job site. Yeah, lunch was half an hour.
Wow.
You have to eat fast. Yeah.
That's where you learn to eat fast. Interesting. Okay.
What's the best and or worst reaction you've gotten as Joey Chestnut, the eating champion, walking into a restaurant? Do people go like, oh, my God, we're a food place and we have the king of food here? Or is it like, well, closed for the day?
Depends if it's a buffet. If it's a buffet, I'm sure it makes all the difference, right?
Yeah. Usually really, really happy. And if it's a good restaurant and there's a chef there that's proud of their food, then I get to meet the chef and their show or the owner of the restaurant wants to show me the kitchen. They show me the things that they're really proud of. They're like, oh, dude, check out this awesome meat slice. My God, like, yeah, let's fucking slice some meat.
do you cook as well? Usually
they're really happy I'm there. At one time, I think I went to an all-you-can-eat sushi place, and they made me get sick. They got me sick.
No, really?
I was there a little bit too. I love some nigiri, just the fish and rice. And right.
Then you found out. You found out Kobayashi was in the kitchen. Yeah, that's where it all went sideways. Yeah, interesting. All right, well, listen, I want to let you go here. I know you have a lot of study. Do you watch tape? Is that even a factor in your preparation? Do you watch tape of last year or other eaters or anything like that? Or is it just...
I watch tape practice. Practice tape is where it's at.
Yeah.
Starting to slow down. But I feel good. I feel like my jaws, throat... I'm ready to eat.
All right. Well, we're ready to bet on you. And over 74 and a half hot dogs consumed. That's what I'm hearing for Joey Chestnut. I was a little bit, I wasn't sure about your.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Don't hold me to it.
You're going to do it.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. I can guarantee you the win.
Okay. Guaranteed.
I'll guarantee a win.
15-time champ.
I'm going to get the win.
He's Joe Namathing it right here in New York, doing it again. Joey Chestnut, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. There you go. All right. Well, we have to bet on him. I don't know the odds. You can't really bet on him. He's just it's such a prohibitive favorite. I think he's like – it's like minus 10,000 or something, Martin. But what do you think?
I can't just buy that. I just can't imagine that 22-year-old Joey Chestnut was – like his friends were just all in support of – my friends would have bullied me to where I would have stopped.
Well, he wasn't. It was different because he didn't. He wasn't automatically 400 pounds. So then it wasn't like you didn't have everybody who's like, all right, this is a problem. You're going to die. You're going to kill yourself. It's like, Fair. Holy shit, he's eating a lot and he's putting it down and he's not gaining a ton of weight and he's making money off of this, right? Check. I don't know.
I think it's cool that he can say, like, you know, his catchphrase could be like, I'm Joey Chestnut and I'm still hungry for championships and also wieners. Like, you know, like, I think that's there's a cool vibe. And we've really watched him mature over the years, haven't we? You know, it's been a long run for him and it's been satisfying to watch. And as he touched on himself, he is an American hero, an American success story.
Yeah.
Quit construction to eat the all-American food wieners. And I wonder how many chestnuts he could eat, though.
Oh, well, let's get him back.
So the contest is 10 minutes. It's as much as you get in 10 minutes, right?
Right. That's it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. So it's really you're just competing against yourself, right? If you could block everything else out. When I asked him about watching tape and stuff, it's like, no, what's the point? You have to, you know, a number you have to hit. And if you hit that number, none of these other clowns are going to get there. It is weird that no one's really stepped up in the last decade to be like, yeah.
What's your food, Sal? If we did an extra points staff eating competition, but since you're at the top of the mountain, you get to choose the food.
Yeah.
Go ahead and call it.
Well, it's dumb because I can go through a cart. I love blueberries, and I can go through a cart and just pick and throw them in about 15 or 20 seconds. But that's not satisfying. If you want something hearty, I could do chicken wings. I used to eat for comedy all the time. Mikey Meatballs knows there's a place called Rose and Thistle. They'd have a buffet. I'd do the Sizzler buffet. And undoubtedly, we'd go to the buffet. I'd eat like a freaking pig. And then we'd pull over. And I once vomited in a person's driveway. And like a six-year-old is like, Mommy, there's a man throwing up in our driveway. Like, that's how it ended every single time. So I was into this for sure. But I think I'd have to say chicken wings.
Well, philosophically, and I think Chestnut, because I've asked him that question before, I think it's a part of the actual rules. If you puke during the competition, you're out.
You got to keep it up.
I think vomiting after the fact also should disqualify you, morally at minimum. You know, it's like if that's what you're doing, then are you really a competitive?
How far after? I mean, do they follow you to your home? What do you mean?
I mean, period. If you can't hold it, then are you really eating it, period? I'm sorry to attack you, but I think that that's fair. And that would I would have to stipulate, if you want to do wing eating, as a competitive wing eater of some success myself, I here and now would challenge you to a head-to-head with the stipulation. If you puke those wings up in the next couple hours. That's bogus.
I famously, it was me and Joe House on House Eats 3 for the, you know, the Grantland. By the way, Simmons, if there's no House Eats 3, Simmons sells the ringer for $35. I mean, honestly, that's what put it on the map. Even though it was Grantland at the time, but it enabled him to open the ringer. I don't know. What would you say, Mark? What's your food of choice?
I throw up at everything now. Like seriously, let's about 2 weeks ago, I discovered that I have acid reflux. So like had no idea what it was. I had to go to the doctor and everything. So like I'm eating nothing but greens. Like the concept of eating like 100 chicken wings or 50 hot dogs or even a slice of pizza right now is so disgusting to my stomach.
Right.
I don't know. However, I do have a question for you though, Mr. Chicken Wing, because I feel like that's only half the answer.
Yeah.
Because if you could go barbecue, you could go hot chicken wing, go lemon pepper. There's so many different flavors, all of which I feel like should have an impact on how many you could eat in one.
Well, sitting. I think you pick your. Well, I guess I don't know, Shaq. How do we do this? I mean, yeah, you're right. If it's too hot, after a while, it doesn't matter how much meat you could consume, you're going to get sick from the sauce. Or if it's too sweet, I'm starting to love lemon pepper with no.
I'm about to say, the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast was named the love was there before the podcast.
Yeah,
I probably could do now. I could do dirty some lemon pepper more.
You can
lemon pepper wings.
Yeah, but you're not gonna you're gonna vomit after the first wing. I mean, that's not gonna be fun to watch.
I sure hope not.
The extended fad of lemon pepper wings it bemuses me. They're fine. I'm not over my skis for them. They're okay. We got 50 wings and you can choose as many as three different sauces, okay, if one of them is lemon pepper, I'll eat them, but those definitely are not at the top.
But this is a contest. This is a different question than what's your favorite wing, right? It's like how many can you skin off the bone, in 10 minutes. So,
but I ain't Joey Chestnut, and I'm trying to bring him over to my side spiritually. That's point
true.
Of it's not just strategy to order the shake and the bacon wrapped around the wiener and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's eating for pleasure rather than being a remorseless eating machine like Homer Simpson at the All You Can Eat. You see, that's I eat for pleasure. I once. Challenge a great parlor trick, by the way. My pals and I once said I can eat that entire watermelon. I don't remember why it was there, but we had a whole big watermelon, and I said I could eat that in under an hour. Mm-hmm. People took sides, and everybody threw in $100, and I was going to make out pretty good from that. And about 20 minutes in, the watermelon was already half gone, and then in there I said, competition over. I'm done. They said, what are you talking about? We're not done. You didn't eat it all. I said, I think I've proven the point. I could consume the rest of this, but it's not a good watermelon. I don't like this watermelon. And again, I eat for pleasure, and I'm not going to eat a bum watermelon. Get me
you
a good watermelon.
You think that maybe after eating 20 straight minutes of watermelon, you maybe didn't want to do it any longer?
Of course.
It's like maybe the first bite of watermelon was just fine.
Yeah,
and then
what are you saying about me? What are you accusing me of, Martin?
I'm not accusing you of anything. You're the one that said you welched out. It was supposed to be an hour
I didn't welch out anything. I told you I eat because it's an act of pleasure. I don't care what money's on the line. I'm not soulless.
I'm changing the contest. I've decided I don't like the taste anymore. Everybody throw your money in. You lost.
Guys play football for fun, but they don't quit with 7 minutes left in the second quarter after they don't like the way it feels when they get hit.
Some of them do. Well, if I bet on them, they do, I feel like.
If it makes you feel any better, it's an argument about who owes whom money to this day. There's still an ongoing debate on group text messages about, like, you still owe me the $100. Like, I don't, because he quit the competition, so I don't owe you. And so there's a whole lot.
You still owe me $3, Dave.
I love that this isn't just our thing, right, Martin? Yeah, he's got side text chains from decades long going about this. But anyway, listen, if you want to bet through an entity that's going to pay up, it's FanDuel Sportsbook. Do it. The baseball season turn. K's into cash this year and big hits into big wins. FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. It has great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app. You get paid fast. What more do I need to say? There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code EXTRAPOINTS to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. I'll tell you what, there's no sweat in betting these Yankees. My God, this is now, they're 36 games over 500. If they went 500 the rest of the year, Sheck, they win 100 games. What are we, what's the point? What's the point anymore watching this team?
It's a bummer because I like to jag around with the Eddie Spaghettis of the world and congratulate Nick Costos, who I just talked to yesterday. I like to congratulate in advance to, you know, because I'm a classy guy. So congratulations, Eddie Spaghetti and New York Yankees fans the world over. You're going to be the 2022 World Series champion, except that, of course, with this cockamamie postseason that's meant to engage more fans, it's an injustice. The Yankees are by far the best team, and pretty standardly, they would be locked into it. If you are this good at any for any prolonged stretch in the regular season, you are destined to win the World Series. But now with the wild card crap, it's got to be a little scary if you're a Yankees fan. You're out of justice. Obviously should be in the World Series now awaiting your foe. That's the only
thing. It has been exactly 10 minutes since I asked if the eating competition was 10 minutes. So just think about the time in just that period in time. That's 75 potential, like approximately 75 hot dogs eaten by Joey Chestnut.
Yeah, but Sheck would have bailed out 3 minutes in and said, I've proved my point. Look at these 8 wings I ate.
No, not if they were nice grilled wieners like Chestnut vouched for.
I mean, that's what 10 minutes feels like. If, you know, 10 minutes of real time, just thank wow. You.
See, or 30 seconds of listening to Dave talk feels like 10 minutes.
I got
to
say,
that is true.
The Lemon Pepper Parlay host between Martin letting us know what 10 minutes feels like and Mark letting us know what time it is every, you know, hour on the hour, half hour. Really, it's amazing. You got, I mean, that's your thing. You, that is your lane.
We got to keep the people informed, especially the kids in Kansas City.
I got it. Especially the Kansas City kids.
Just be great, would you please?
All right, listen. Yankees 4-1 odds to win the whole thing. Dodgers right behind them, plus 450. Those freaking Astros are just crushed. My Mets are 6-1. And then the Mets are 7-1. Should get some pitching help in a minute. But, well, Spaghetti, I'll say this. Now, well, how do you feel now? Damashek has, much like he did with the Rangers, congratulated them on a Stanley Cup midway through the season. He's doing that with your Yankees. Do you appreciate this? You tell him F off.
I hate when people do that because I mean
especially
you guys,
Dave.
You guys know what kind of fan I am, that I'm like, I'm negative. Right. Like, I don't believe the team actually won until, you know, I guess a hot dog eating contest after the final out. So I sent this exact text message a few days ago to my friends in New York, all Yankees fans pretty much. And after one of their dramatic come from behind wins, I said, when they lose to the Astros in the ALCS, I will kill myself. That was the exact text message.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. That's not good.
So I even though they're playing great, I mean, I never feel like they're going to lose a game. Even when they're down 5 runs, I'm like, they'll come back. They'll find a way to come back. I'm just a nervous fan. I'm a terrible fan.
I mean, should we cancel your health insurance? It doesn't seem fair that you could just kill yourself at the end of all that.
I won't. Well, for anyone listening, I won't actually do that.
Okay, good.
You're taking me to task for backing out because I didn't like the watermelon. If he doesn't kill himself, he's going to get what for from you guys?
Yeah, somebody's got to come through on these promises, for God's sakes. No, but they're boring. Like, Stanton's taking half swings and sending up in the bleachers. Like, I can't even watch the Yankees anymore. I guess we just bet it, much like we did the -9.5s both ways, Martin. It was
that's what I've been doing the last 3 weeks.
That's it. Yankees -1.5, although they've had a couple 3-2s in there. Yeah.
No, what I've been doing is if they go down early, I just live bet the money line at whatever it is because
that's what he just said.
They're going to come back.
That's smart.
But here's the legit question: if you're going to wager on it. Is 4-1 is pretty good, right? Is it? I mean, that's not bad for a juggernaut team.
Except
like this
the way you set it up, it's kind of a coin flip once you get into the playoffs. The one thing they do have going for them that they didn't is this staff is pretty good. These arms are really taking them through it. But, you know, again, it's the end of June. Who knows?
But that's my question, and that's why I will forever rail against the stupidity of short series in the postseason, let alone multiple ones just to get to the World Series, is because if you catch the Astros and you're the Yanks and Justin Verlander's out there pitching as he is now, that can end know, 115 win season right quick, you know?
You know how they hit. And when it gets cold, that third week in October gets cold, all of a sudden the batting averages go down 20 points. But to my thing, with what I started with, if you're just talking purely odds, and what did I say? If they go 500 the rest of the way, they have 100 wins, which will probably be enough to win the division. Yeah, 4-1 is good, because then they'll be at plus 250, I think, at the highest, I think, after they make the playoffs, if they keep this up. Martin, I did want to mention, Commissioner Manfred came out, said we're going to have robot umpires by 2024. And I know we've been screaming about this every time there's a check swing or one, something, a pitch that's a foot outside that they call a strike, but are we going to regret this?
I just, you know, I've watched more baseball this summer than I have in a long, long time. And I just, the fury, especially last night in the Washington-Pittsburgh game that I had betting on the Nationals and watching the umpires get several calls wrong, right? Like several, like they.
I love that you're betting Washington-Pittsburgh. I love it.
Well, it's the middle of the day, right? You know, what else do I have going on?
Right. I'm with you. Staring at tennis right now. Yeah.
But part of it is, like, there has to be some – in baseball especially, I feel like there needs to be more of the human element than ever before. Because when you go to review or go to replay, there's never been a sport that I've seen that seemed – you learn so little from replay review. In baseball. Because it's like – that's the biggest sport to me where review takes away like the intent of what it was supposed to be. Like if the guy beat the throw into the bag, then he's safe. I don't care if his hip came off the bag in between transitioning from his elbow to his knee, because he's not a gymnast. He's a second baseman, right? Right. So I feel like we're all getting too close to what we deem as like perfection. Like, because we have the idea that we want the right call, and I don't think that we really want the right call. Then we want the most obvious call.
Well, I'll tell you what I want. Yeah, no, my biggest problem with it is I would miss the arguing by the player, immediate reaction of a batter throwing, you know, tossing his bat to the dugout, thinking he walked when he really struck out. Like, to me, that's great. But so, Sheck, is it just like, Sal, grow up already? Why do you have to see more arguing? Just get it right and move on and go through the game, and maybe it makes the game quicker, God forbid.
Do we even have, though? Because I think you're calling back to our youth when Earl Weaver Lou Piniella. Does anybody Sparky really Anderson. Do that anymore? Billy Martin, obviously, is maybe the best of them all. But no, Earl Weaver was the best.
Weaver was great. Bobby Cox got thrown out of more games than anybody, but that was a little later than the 70s. Sparky Anderson was fun with that. Billy Martin, yeah, you said he'd pick up bases.
Lloyd McClendon or was it Lou Piniella? I can't think of who it was who picked up the bases.
Piniella did.
I think it was Piniella.
Yeah. In Cincinnati.
And kicking dirt on another grown man is pretty fun.
Okay, but 80% of that is taken care of by the replay. Like a manager's not going to have a stroke going out there arguing a close play at first. They'll just like do the whirl around and say, hey, we're going to replay that. So balls and strikes is all we have left.
The last one I can remember is Brad Ausmus in Detroit. He stormed out and covered, like he got kicked out of the game. He stormed out, covered the home plate with his whatever he was wearing, like this like warm-up jersey, because you know, nobody wears the jersey for real. They don't wear the warm-ups. Mm-hmm. He covered home plate with that and then got kicked out of the game. But I think to your point, there's not too many.
Well, that's why you'll see minor league, a single-A minor league umpire, because there's no replay there. You'll see the coaches and managers just going nuts, like, that's what I missed. But is it dumb to hang on to something like this?
Yeah, it's gotten to be a performance with those guys. You know, like, what is that? That's 10, 15 years ago at this point now, where that minor league skipper was pretending to, like, throw grenades from – he was hiding behind the mound and doing all – like, obviously, you know your cameras are on. You stop dancing. But I think Marty's right that the thing that we have to figure out is – what the leagues need to figure out is – you know, the bang bang nature of plays. I think the spirit of the rule is most sort of, what are we doing here, is like possession of the football from a receiver. Like, it's like he has control. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, he's like, yeah, but you can see the ball move there. But is the ball under his control? Yes. Like, how do you figure out that gray nuance? And that's the issue. I'm with Marty completely. Like, on that double play, did his foot hit the bag before he leapt over the run? You know, all that kind of stuff. We have to figure that out because absolutism ain't great either. Like, it's like,
yeah,
what I'm talking about. Control is like, yeah, but he possessed that. If you see the ball move by an inch, you're going to overturn that great superhuman deed that the guy had getting 2 feet down at the back of the end. Oh, but the ball moved. Like, yeah, but he possessed the ball. Come on, everybody. Yeah. How do you accommodate that?
Well, I don't know. And there's still like the check swing in the Giants game to end the Giants season against the Dodgers last year. Is that I don't think the robot umps, they won't be that, they won't be accountable for that, right? You still need the first base ump to punch him out or not, right? They still have some decision making. I think that would be one of the very few things left that you couldn't review.
Yeah, true.
And the robots wouldn't take over. Look, it's two different things. It's what's pleasing to the eye, what's going to bring in more viewers, and the second thing is what's right, right? So get it right, but do we get kids to watch more if there's less arguing, less fighting? You know, I think we do. I don't know. Did we talk about this on Against All Odds or Extra Points? You know, when hockey went down, they're like, okay, there's not nearly as much fighting. But there is a sweet spot where you do want a couple of fights per week, a fight per game or something, right? To leave the purist or the old timer fan interested. I think they go work backwards with that, don't they?
Well, ultimately, we're here for fun.
Right.
Like, it's entertainment. It's what it's supposed to be. It comes on TV just like Mad Men and all these other, you know, all the other TV shows. Like, it comes on TV just like that for that reason. So we sit there and watch it like it's a movie. I'd like to see a little bit of drama in my movie and replay to me. Like, I would be 100% for taking away all of it. All of it. Add more officials if you'd like. Add like two more officials and completely eliminate the Secaucus replay booth. You know, Gene Steratore, America's referee, can go off and retire, and I'm good with it. I don't ever need to hear, if he had ever, like, no, I need, if you can't figure it out in 15 seconds, do it again.
All right. I don't know.
Wow, look at Marty Weiss. Welcome to the old Manning cast.
I'm
seriously. Marty had it in him.
It takes,
no, you
takes
don't
away.
Want it to be right. This isn't a fungible element of sport. It shouldn't be. It should be right theory, is what you want. It's not the same
theory.
As like,
look, in theory,
it's not
be
a
great.
Test of the human limits. Like sport, like the athlete is like, can he do this? Can he come through with another high end athlete trying to stop him from doing that? And he's going to make mistakes along the way. That's not the measure of a referee. They should be absolutely right all the time. And whatever gets it right, because that's not supposed to be fluid or left to an individual human being to determine, was his foot down first or did the ball get there? Like, all that, no, it should be 100% right 100% of the time, especially when we watching at home can see the right and wrong of it. I get what you're talking about. And I'm with you about like, well, there's some that are super duper close, but 99% of the time when we're watching at home, if we're diehard sports fans, within 20 seconds, we know like, oh no, they have to overturn that. And then they take 9 minutes to figure out the same thing that we already knew. But ultimately we want it right.
Well, that lets the referee off the hook. Like, we don't have to overturn, like when LeBron James misses a three-pointer that missed a game, we don't go, oh, we got to go overturn that. No, he missed the shot because he, like, for whatever, he made a lot before, but he missed that one. If the referee misses the call, how is it, first of all, on the team that was violated by the referee, it's on them to be like, hey, ref, you got this wrong. And then if they're right, they can't even challenge you again when you just proved you're bad at your job. It completely eliminates all the responsibility off of the referee replay.
Because
and the
what
idea
you
that,
said no, 2 minutes wanna, ago, what you said 2 minutes ago answers your issue.
Was
it
that
is
2 minutes? Wow,
and it's
so
fun.
Five times 2 minutes is what we would eat. All right.
Marty, you just said, the joke that everybody makes, the snark that everybody says is, hey, refs, we ain't here to watch you. Who gives a crap about, like, well, human error? I don't want any human error from that position on the in the watch that I'm having. Yeah. I want to see the fallibility of human beings competing.
So
the referee,
rather,
get it right 100% of the time, please.
First of all, that's impossible for anybody to get it right 100% of the time. But however, I do think that it's something that you see different athletes every single year. There's rookies that come in and veterans that retire. There's been the same referees or the same like stable of referees across sports, mind you, in basketball and football since I've like for the vast majority of my I don't understand how there's not new referees coming in. Where's the new young referee that has now supplanted somebody who's somebody old? That's not happening in this way, and it's part of the reason why I feel like is because we have this. Like if you want your officials to be right 100% of the time, then perhaps you should fire officials who get things wrong.
Well,
Bill Vinovich called the Super Bowl last year and also blew the pass interference call. Like, I know, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't.
But I think football's different because we still don't know what an effing catch is, okay? So there's a lot of ambiguity. There's much less ambiguity. What is that word? In baseball, where if you get the balls and strikes right, which we can through a computer, then 98% of that, if you also include replay on close plays at first and stuff like that, really 98% of baseball is bulletproof in terms of bad calls. If we get the if the computer umps are in there behind the plate, and you really like Chuck says, you don't want to give the wrong team the World Series win like you potentially did in 1985, right? Isn't that the thing? Isn't that the pushback right here? It's like, don't make the wrong team win because of a bad call. Right. And I think you could solve
especially with wagering, you know, with the prominence of wagering now, you just can't have that because people immediately and have forever. But now even more so jump to like the refs are in on it. And by the way, as a side note, I think it's crazy that it's just out in the open that we talk about like, I think this team, I think that ref hates my team. When people say that about any other sport, it's kind of laughable. In the NBA, it's like, oh, yeah, the statistics bear it out. Like, that team loses, or that guy doesn't get called.
16-1. Celtics were 16-1. What was the referee's name? Martin Lewis was his last name? Was 16-1. Like, all right, well, maybe.
The number one is Scott. Is Chris Paul has never won a playoff game that Scott Foster has officiated.
Yeah, like, it's pretty weird. It's pretty weird that he should just be. I'll tell you
something, Dave. As somebody who wagered on the Pirates and the Nationals yesterday, watching an 11-minute review, and then I wasn't satisfied. I wasn't like, oh, my God, thank goodness that they got this one right, because now I feel so much better about the fact that the Nationals got four outs in one inning and nobody seemed to care.
That is bad. that's a crappy canard that I don't know the roots of it or what goes on with that. As I say, you know the call. If you put – we've had this conversation. If you put me, Sal, and Hench in a room on NFL Sunday and said, you guys are in charge of making all the calls here, anything that's questionable, you make it. We not only would get the calls right 100% of the time, we would do it in about 11 seconds.
No,
would
Hench, like, wouldn't.
Hey,
Hench wouldn't.
Hey, ref, you got that one wrong. Go overturn that one. Keep playing, everybody. No reason for a 10-minute stop down to assess the video. Hench would need,
Hench would need 45 minutes at least because you'd have to hear his assessment before he actually made it official. But
Dave would like everybody to get pulled over for going 1 mile over the speed limit. Absolutist!
Listen.
I just said I wouldn't. What I do want to make Marty and people feel happy is because I think the weird adjustment for real will be optically. Isn't it going to be weird when there's a batter and there's a catcher and then nothing else? Our whole lives we've seen the
that's what's weird.
Hovering
exactly.
Down. We need a robot. It's not just like people say, oh, robot umps. We need literal robots.
Will they put a cardboard ump behind the catcher?
I hope so. I wonder. What I'm getting at.
Well, until then, we still have the same rules, and we're going to do our plays of the day based on those. I'm taking the Padres plus 108 over the Dodgers. Joe Musgrove has been dynamite, 8-1. Like a 2.12 ERA, probably should start the All-Star game. Padres have won 64% of their games as an underdog this year. They're actually better on the road, 10 over 500, game and a half back. I was wrong about this team. Even without Tatis and Machado now for a bit, they're still thriving. Cronenworth, Voit, Hosmer picking up the slack. Tonight, Musgrove shuts Blue down in Chavez Ravine. Take the Pods plus 108. Martin, you're going back to Pirates Nationals?
Well, I'm going back to the Pirates, but they're playing the Brewers tonight.
Okay.
First of all, I like the I always like these games that start now. Like, the Guardians are going to win today, but by the time everybody hears it, it'll be too late to bet on it. I play today. I'm going to take the Brewers on the money line, and I'm going to parlay it with the over 9. The Brewers are 4-0 in their last 4. And the Pirates are 1-5 in their last 6 versus a team with a winning record. And the Pirates got the luckiest win of all time, despite, you know, numerous replay reviews. They couldn't seem to get a call to go their way. And the Brewers' bats have been hot. They're The over is 6-0-1 in their last seven. So I'm going to take that. That gives you a nice little plus money payout.
All right, Shaq, well, going against your team.
I do like that over, and I'm inclined to maybe change my pick to join Marty on that one. I do think that he's right, because for whatever ails them, they do have some nice young bats. That's an emerging storyline with them. Buckos, Brian Reynolds on Wednesday hit three out. The Brewers-Pirates matchup specifically over the last few years swings heavily in favor of the Brewers. Adrian Houser, who's getting the start for the Brewers, has not been great. He's lost three out of his last four. So I think I will officially do that and join Marty on the over. I was going to say O'Neill Cruz is a fun bet, but that's a little bit of a reach. You know, you could go Brian Reynolds at plus 440, O'Neill Cruz at plus 460.
This is to hit a home run.
Brian Hayes at plus 560, one of those guys to go yard. Mm-hmm. I will go O'Neill Cruz for the fun's sake. If you haven't seen this kid swing a bat, it's quite a thing we were talking about. He's a string bean who's 6'7" and somehow coordinates at the point of impact, and it's unlike anything you've seen since Dave Winfield or maybe Daryl Strawberry. Houser has not been great for a good ball club, though. And I'm going to say, with Marty, take the over. I'm not going to take the Brewers, who will very likely win this game, out of a sense of morality and civic
pride. Dave, what is the what's the big fella home run? Vogelbach to hit a home run.
Vogelbach is a slob. I celebrate him. He's plus 410.
Right.
Plus 410. That's plus 410. Well, he's got to be at least 250, 265, 270. He's a fucking house.
We might see him July 4th right beside Joey Chestnut. One of these.
I would look at him. If you were looking at Cruz to hit a home run, I would take Reynolds off and put Vogelbach on, because Vogelbach hit the warning track twice and hit one out yesterday. Reynolds hitting three. I don't know if he can do.
We spent a lot of time talking about this Brewers-Pirates game, I got to say. And, Shaq,
Marty
like,
bet on a Nationals Pirates game. How bereft of options are you?
It was on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's what it was.
It's what
we need
are.
More on in the middle of the day. That's the problem.
You roll with the times. All right, let's take a quick break, and then I think Babyface Joel Solomon has some kind of trivia game set for us. Mm. Right back. All right, Babyface, I know it involves the NFL. You said we would like this. You said we could all compete. And what do you got cooked for us?
All right, we're so desperate for NFL news. Right. So with the NFL releasing their top 10 selling jerseys of 2022 thus far, I mean, we know we have the uniformant. So if anyone knows about best-selling jerseys, I figured it would be him. But let's put you all to the test. Wanted to see if, I guess, collectively, or we could go around the horn.
Let's do it, sports geniuses, right? One, like Martin goes, I go, Sheck goes, and then Martin goes, right? We'll see until someone bows out. So this is top 10 selling NFL jerseys. Martin, you start us off. Don't look at Martin. It really looks like he's looking something up here.
Oh, come on, Marty. Show them mitts. Come on. Show your mitts. Everybody
right here.
He already clicked on the site. Yeah.
No, I didn't click on anything. What I just put on is the Guardians Twins game that I just bet on.
All right.
Why don't you cover your eyes, Marty? I don't know if you're trustworthy at this point.
First one I'm
going to
go with is Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Is he in the top 10?
Josh Allen is coming in. I'll give you the specific number. Number two is Josh Allen. Martin is on the board.
Well, Tom Brady has to be one of the top 10 still.
Tom Brady, his Bucks jersey, number 5.
Okay.
There you go. Check.
Well, I hope this counts as going chalk. I'll go, if those guys are still up there, then so too is Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes coming in at number 9.
All right.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Martin?
A little bit.
Okay, let's see. Let's see. All right. If that is the case, then I'm going to go with Trey Lance.
What?
Oh, my God. What happened?
I'm just thinking of guys who would be starting to coming up this year. Like, I'm thinking it's going to be quarterbacks. I'm not thinking this would be like, it would either, to me, it would be a guy who switched teams or a quarterback's about to start.
All right,
you
give
better
him a
get a Lance to reach out to grab that one.
I hope he's on this list.
Give him the bad news. Give him the bad news, Joel.
The bad news is Martin is out.
Yeah.
And he's probably Trey Lance too.
So do they have a list? Does the list go beyond 10? Do you know where Trey Lance is, or does they only have the 10 in front of you?
This is only the top 10. It's like
okay. There's no chance Trey Lance is in the top 30.
Right. we'll have to find that. Okay. So
I'm
going to
look that up now.
Right,
since
you're out.
Martin's I bet he's not top 50 as a matter.
It's just me and
Shaq. You got to give me some odds though.
Hold on, he's
not top 50.
All right. I think the quarterback of America's team, Dak Prescott's jersey, is in the top 10.
Wow. I mean, maybe in Dallas specifically.
What?
We are only.
That's now, pathetic. We need
Dave to.
See, I was with
seven.
Dak, but I thought he's been there for a long time. Maybe I already got
ready?
A jersey.
Yeah. You ready? Well, I'm going to guess number one, but that doesn't count. This can't be held against me if I'm wrong about who
number one. Oh, get the fuck out. I just got this list. This is bullshit.
Go ahead.
Justin Herbert must be on there.
Well, hold on. That's your pick. You gotta pick one.
Okay, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's my pick.
Justin Herbert coming in at number eight.
Oh, you got eight and nine? You win with eight and nine?
Yeah, you're goddamn right. I
right.
Do. That's the standard. Let
All
me
right.
Give you another
so who?
One.
Well, what? Aaron Rodgers has to be on here, right?
This is Dave's show now, sir.
All right. Next
Aaron
up,
Rodgers
here's one.
Not on the list.
Wow. No, you know I what? Yeah, because show. To Marty's point, right? Aaron Rodgers has been on the Packers forever, so
right.
And he has recently behaved like a weirdo. That would combine to keep him out of the top 10. You know who he is? Get ready for a stunner, fellas. New guy in a quarterback league. How about number eight? Kenny Pickett. He's in that top 10, I bet you, right?
Not only is he in the top 10, he's in the top five, beating out Tom Brady for number four.
I feel like my Trey Lance logic was sound as I look at this list and see Kenny freaking Pickett on it.
Yeah, are people not buying jerseys anymore? They're like six. Did Kenny Pickett's family buy six jerseys?
Wait.
In the next hour, Kenny Pickett could be number three. So let's just...
Here's another one. Let me just see how long I can keep this roll going.
Keep going.
Aaron Donald.
Well, there you go. Roll stopped.
That's it?
Who else is on this list?
You've got the wrong Rams player. Number seven, Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
Number six, Mac Jones.
Yes.
I'll go backwards. Number 10, Joe Burrow of the Bengals. And then rounding out your top 10, number three, Devontae Adams on the Raiders, and your number one selling jersey of 2022. He hasn't even played a game there yet. Russell Wilson of the Broncos.
Now, do you still want to tell me that Trey Lance isn't in the top 50 when you see that new quarterback on a new team, Russell Wilson, Mac Jones in his second year, and Kenny Pickett in his first year? Are in the top 10. Well,
nobody wants a jersey of a guy who might not start, though, Martin. That's the thing.
He's going to start. Garoppolo's not going to be on the Garoppolo's not going to be on the team by the start of training camp.
I'd be interested in what a gut punch to the alleged America's team that their quarterback isn't in the top 10.
People aren't wearing jerseys. Shameful. Maybe, you know, Dak Prescott's socks, I bet, are through the roof, though. Right.
Well, what surprises me, I wouldn't think it'd be the quarterback. I would have thought 11 from Dallas might have made this list. That would have been my Dallas jersey, I would have thought.
I just thought quarterback automatically. All right, so the ones I'm most surprised at, still Aaron Rodgers. I know if you probably have a Rodgers jersey by now, that's the thing. Derrick Henry, I would have thought, would be on that list. Who else am I missing? I don't know.
I think Shaq, young skill guys.
If you have Kenny Pickett, why isn't like Trevor Lawrence on there?
I bet Najee Harris is because there's, you know, there are brands that rise above. The Jacksonville Jaguars aren't as popular as the Pittsburgh Steelers are. I bet Najee Harris is up there too.
I would have expected to see Justin Fields. That would have been that was all my guesses were young quarterbacks in big markets with popular teams.
In the age of free agency, though, you know, and jerseys being expensive, how many are you going to buy? You got to, like, get your gamble has to be this guy's going to play. And I think there's some skepticism around Justin Fields. And I legitimately think that that's part of people buying jerseys calculation. I wonder, I'm trying to think of those, Deshaun Watson. Is a fascinating one.
They wouldn't even printed the list if Deshaun Watson was top 10. Or he could be top 10. They didn't put that in there. Who knows? But you just don't want to be seen in public with that right now, right? A year from now, it'll be fine.
I wonder
fine.
If you can buy a Deshaun Watson Browns jersey right now.
Yeah.
You know, NFL.com is good to pull their stuff. I mean, I'm sure you could buy one. But
Spaghetti makes an interesting point. What were you saying here, Spaghetti?
Well, like you guys were bringing up that, like Shaq was just saying, the NFL jerseys off of NFL.com are quite expensive, even if you get like the basic replica one. So you have people like myself and Meatballs who use like these like Chinese websites like DHgate or whatever, and we get the jerseys, any sport, you can get them for like $18 to $24. So you get a bunch, but obviously those aren't being counted in the statistics.
I just looked it up. Dak Prescott, number one on all Chinese websites. So I was right. Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, what are you going to do? All right. Well, good job. Good job, Shaq.
Where's Jacob Trouba in the NHL top?
Oh, man.
Is he in there or no? I got to get me an eight. I got to get me one of those.
Kenny freaking Pickett.
All right. Well, we went through a lot. That's stupid. That's dumb.
That's why you pulled it up. All right.
You know what's not dumb? July prop culture. Do it extrapoints.com/arcade. Thank you for Joey Chestnut for being on. Babyface Joel Solomon, thank you for that meaningless quiz you put us through right there. And what are we going to do? Oh, -3, Shaq, you're on with Kevin Hench sometime today, right?
Yeah, we're going to spin with Hench, and we already are ahead of the game because we had a nice reunion earlier in the week on -3 with one Ike Taylor, number 2,
he was great.
Weighing in on the 2022 Pittsburgh Steelers and the entire division. Great stuff about Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and all that.
And Le'Veon Bell, who you brought up, is fighting Adrian Peterson at the end of the month. And I love it. You got to go back and listen to this, Martin, because Shaq goes through like a 10-minute preamble about why Le'Veon Bell left the Steelers. And then Ike Taylor's like, no, that's not why he left.
Oh, Ike isn't wrong, but I'm not wrong either. And I know it for a fact.
I know what you're saying. All right.
No, I know I'm right. And then he completes the circle. Like once the season got going, what happened was another matter. But the matter that matters most going ahead is we got to get to that fight. We got to get there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's out here. It's at Crypto.
Right.
Yeah. Let's do it.
I mean, so who are you, just sight unseen, who do you think has the edge here between Peterson and Bell?
Oh, sorry. I just think Peterson's meaner. So that's what I'm going with.
I had this vision of Adrian Peterson following Sean Payton down the sidelines for that brief cup of coffee when he was with the Saints. He was so mad about getting taken out of the game on third down.
Yeah, if anger translates into, I don't know who's in better shape at this point, but maybe Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, if it matters to actual professional boxers, what your age is, then shouldn't it matter here too? I don't know who's a better fighter. What do I know?
Hold on a second.
Who throws hands better between those two guys? But if we're just assessing it, two high-end athletes, one is, 8 years older than the other? Doesn't that matter?
Hey, yeah, there's no odds on this.
Eddie Spaghetti just put in the chat something that I have to interrupt all the conversation for because what the fuck? USC and UCLA are planning to leave the Big Ten, or leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024.
Wow.
Move, has not been finalized at the highest levels of power. And I just would like to say, Michigan, spend some damn money.
Wow. Oh, that's not good for Michigan. It's
no, because that was going to be Ohio
good
State.
For Michigan.
It's going to be USC.
His team. He's going about his team. But regionally, this is a disaster. I mean, they're going to play on the live tour, aren't they, USC? They're going to move over there. I can tell. It's just a matter
regionally,
of time.
I think
this, you know what? My initial reaction right out of the gate is this is bad. And I love regionality. Yeah. And that's what makes college sports better than or what gives it relevance in the sea of sports. But this is ultimately good for those of us who want a better Final Four. This will be good. What you need is four power conferences to yield its champion, so you have those four teams playing each other. This dissolves the Pac-10, right? Pac-12.
Yeah.
Whatever,
so who's Oregon? What is Oregon going to do now? Is it going to be we got to care about Oregon Stanford that much? Yeah. I don't know. I don't love this because you can only still play 11 games in a season, right? Like it's not baseball where there's a 162 games, so you still have to fill your schedule with Big Ten teams. Like USC is going to play. They're going to play Iowa in October. Like I don't know. It's just
I don't like it you know, aesthetically at to start. Big Ten to start your Saturday.
Right.
With the leaves and the steel gray sky. And then it's time for Pac-12 football where it's sunny. And what the hell is going on? In the, we're in the same country and the weather is that different? This stinks. UCLA playing against, I mean, you're going to get UCLA against Maryland and that's a Big Ten game.
Right. I know. All right. Well, robot umps and California in the Big Ten 2024 is going to be crazy. A reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.